This is VLX number 23, Supercharge Your Prayer With Me. Hello, my name is Father Dave Nix. I'm back with you on the VLX series, and I wanted to thank you for giving me this time on retreat. Thank you especially to all of those who became material or spiritual benefactors. I want to let you know that I pray for you in Holy Mass and the Divine Office. So again, thank you for everyone who's committed to both of those, being a benefactor either materially or spiritually, and started both either 6 months ago when I started this hermit thing or the past 2 weeks. The music you might hear at the beginning of this is Kyrie 2 that I heard on this retreat. It was a retreat I took at a traditional seminary. Very quiet, very beautiful. All the saints end up, you know, fasting and vigiling all night. But I went from my normal minimal sleep to about 14 hours of sleep a day and 3 huge meals. I think the Lord knew I needed healthy food and a lot of sleep. So it was a great recharge. But it was also a retreat on the interior life for priests, to know the Blessed Trinity very intimately. Now, I know many of you are ready to jump back into the Beatitudes, but I want to supercharge you with a few of the things I got in prayer from this retreat for priests, because the entire thing was for the interior life. So I'm going to encourage you to keep meditating on the Passion for today and tomorrow for your 15 minutes. We have some great feasts this week: Exaltation of the Holy Cross, the Seven Sorrows of Mary. So for the next 2 days, meditate on those, because we will be back into the Beatitudes on Tuesday. On this retreat, I met a priest, and before his conversion, he was a Marine. And someone paid for him to go on an Ignatian silent retreat. He went on this Ignatian silent retreat, and in the very first talk that he heard on the principle and foundation of the universe, which is God, everything converted in his heart in that very first conference with this priest. Why did he convert so intensely? He said to me he was making up the rules of his life up to this point. When he had heard that God had ordered the entire universe and was holding him in existence, as the way that St. Ignatius of Loyola describes this, he realized he couldn't make up his rules anymore, and he ended up becoming a priest. He went from a Marine life to an extremely holy priest. And this Ignatian retreat is really what has changed so many people's lives, which is essentially what I'm trying to bring to you on YouTube. Ignatian prayer is so important for our salvation. And look, it's not like God's going to examine us at our particular judgment about how many prayers we prayed. But think about John 17:3. Christ says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you think about it, that can already begin here on earth. And in fact, that was the theme of my retreat that I went on, that eternal life begins on earth with the life of grace and increases in faith and hope and charity. Now, there wasn't much meditating on hell on this retreat, but as the world loses its mind and what I keep saying is going from a dystopian movie to a zombie movie, you have to wonder how many people, when they get before the judgment seat of God, will be responsible for living off all of the propaganda of the mainstream media that's now not just in the United States, but all over the world. Now, we Catholics tend to say, well, all will be pardoned because God couldn't have expected every person on the planet to ignore CNN. No, he couldn't. But I keep thinking of a line of a non-Catholic Christian philosopher from the 19th century. His name was Soren Kierkegaard, and he said this line that keeps haunting me. Quote, "If I could prescribe just one remedy for all the ills of the modern world, I would prescribe silence. For even if the word of God were proclaimed in the modern world, no one would hear it. There is too much noise. Therefore, create silence." End quote. Now think about it. He said that maybe around 1840. Look at how we're inundated with constant noise. I think that's why I slept 14 hours a day on this retreat. My phone was off for the whole week. My computer was off the whole week. The lack of stimuli just let me rest in the Lord. I could prescribe just one remedy. It would be silence. For even if the word of God were proclaimed in the modern world, no one would hear it. So you can't just read your Bible for 5 minutes on the subway between texts. Texts, couple minutes on the Bible, couple texts, and then you go to work and still expect to come to union with God. Now, neither do you have to have Jesus say something astonishing to you in Ignatian mental prayer for it to be successful, so I'm sorry if I've misled some of you into that. I think some of you are looking for the fireworks in your hippocampus, and other of you are disappointed if nothing happens in those 15 minutes. But what I'm going to explain today to you is why the presence of God, even if nothing cool happens in prayer, is success in the interior life. So hang on, because there's some really interesting quotes from the saints I'm going to bring you today. A huge part of this retreat, I realized, is that God is already present in the silence. St. Teresa of Avila said, "All sins are committed because we do not think of God as really present, but imagine him as very far off." All sins are committed because we do not think of God as really present, but imagine him as very far off. Now imagine when you die. Maybe that's in a week, maybe that's in 5 years, maybe it's in 50 years, and you're before the judgment seat of God. Will you be responsible if you get to the judgment seat of God and say you hadn't given enough money to the poor because, say, your RCIA teacher told you that it's enough to take care of your own family? You might be responsible. Why? Because if you had stayed in silence and prayer for 15 minutes a day, you might have heard, I don't mean locution, I mean understood deep in your heart in prayer, that you had to maybe go to a different parish to learn traditional Catholicism on tithing or being generous. Or maybe, let's say, before the judgment seat of God, maybe that's in a week when you die, maybe it's in 50 years when you die, will you be responsible for having used contraception because a priest told you it's okay? Now, I know a lot of the listeners out there have already confessed it. I don't mean for those who've confessed it. I mean for unconfessed sins if a priest told you it's okay. Would those people be responsible? Well, maybe, because if you had prayed 15 minutes a day in silence, you would have intuitionally understood to go to a different priest for advice. Maybe a Latin Mass parish where you don't get bad advice. Before the judgment seat of, well, you can, but it's very rare. Before the judgment seat of God, let's ask another question. Will you be responsible for, say, not reconciling with a family member before that person died? Maybe, because if you had meditated on the Beatitudes for just 15 minutes a day, God would have given you infused faith, hope, and charity to understand it applied directly to you when he said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust." So look, I don't want you listening to the VLX series out of fear of hell, but out of love of heaven, which already starts here on earth. But what I want you to see from those little examples of the moral life there is that in a time when we're swamped with so much information, really when we're swamped with so much misinformation in both the church and the state, our one rescue boat is mental prayer, because that's where God straightens out all of the misinformation. Even, catch this, even if it's not in that moment. You see, God plants these seeds of knowledge, of understanding, of wisdom in that time in silence. So don't judge your time by any of these emotional fireworks, like I said, that might go off in your hippocampus in that time of prayer. God straightens out your life silently in prayer. That's why you got to give him these 15 minutes of mental prayer a day. Not just reading, but actually silence, because those seeds are planted. And that's why we hear that line all the time from St. Alphonsus Liguori: "He who prays will be saved, he who does not pray will be condemned." And I think we just, again, we can think of God as just going to nitpick us at the particular judgment, how many prayers we prayed. That's not what he means. I'm 95% sure Liguori meant mental prayer in that quote. He didn't mean vocal prayer or liturgical prayer, as important as both of those are for our salvation. When he said that line, "He who prays will be saved, he who does not pray will be condemned," he was talking about mental prayer, because that is the one thing we can be responsible for when everything is going crazy around us, is committing ourselves to God in that time in adoration, in listening. And because of this, if we don't stop to listen to God, we can't claim ignorance in the final judgment. If he gave us, as most of you in the first world, some of you are in the second and third world, have, but even third world people have the time, if you're watching this, have the time to give God those 15 minutes of prayer a day. So again, it doesn't matter if you feel anything in your heart after you turn that video off and give those 15 minutes of prayer. Mental prayer is where God plants those seeds. Our Lord said in Mark's gospel, quote, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Of all those words there, the ones I think about all the time is, he knows not how. Isn't that beautiful? He knows not how. How does the kingdom of God grow when there's all this misinformation? I don't know, but there's people converting to Christ all over the globe. I think I've mentioned this before, 25% of all conversions in the Middle East happen with Jesus appearing in a dream to a Muslim. God is still filling his kingdom even when we're dismayed at the corruption and the scandals in the Catholic Church in the West. There's still people coming to Christ, so you got to keep up with them. Now, on this retreat I took this past week, all 50 or 100 of us ate in silence. But they read to us, sometimes from Pope St. Pius X, sometimes from another bishop. But what was astonishing was an unknown letter, to me at least, that Sister Lucy of Fatima, remember Lucy who saw Our Lady appear in Fatima in 1917, they read from a letter she had written to a priest in 1957 that he received in 1958. Now, I'm going to write a blog post or two on that, and I'm going to call it Lucy's Lost Letters. But two sentences I want to share with you right now that knocked my socks off. These are two lines from Lucy who saw the Blessed Virgin Mary, and I think she's writing this from her apparitions of Our Lady when she wrote this with this priestess. So here's the two quotes. The first is this, quote, "It is indeed so sad that so many persons let themselves be dominated by the diabolical wave sweeping over the world and that they are blinded to the point of being incapable of seeing the error. Their principal fault is that they have abandoned prayer. Thus they have left God, and without God they have nothing. Without me, you can do nothing." Close quote. That was Sister Lucy in the 13th of April, 1971. Okay, I got that date wrong. That was 71, but the other one I'm going to quote you is from earlier. Now, think about it. She said that in 1971, that people's chief error is that they're being dominated by a sweeping wave. Anything like today? No. But it's because they were incapable of seeing the error because they weren't praying. Now, if you watch the news and wonder how many people are dominated by a diabolical wave, it's not because they only have, say, access to CNN and not Fox News. It's because they've left God and are, as Sister Lucy said, incapable of seeing that error. That's why you need mental prayer more than your 15 minutes of Fox News a day, as much as I like Tucker Carlson more than the Cuomo brothers. But listen to this line. This is from 1958. Sister Lucy, again, the one who saw Our Lady. She said, quote, "However, Father, people must be told that they cannot expect any call to prayer and penance from the sovereign pontiff, nor from bishops, nor from their parish priests, nor from the superiors of religious orders. No, our Lord has already used these means, but the world ignored them. This is why it is now necessary for each one of us to begin on his own, the spiritual reform of self. Each one must save not only his own, but all the souls that God has placed in his path. It's time for each one of us individually on his own initiative to do good works and to reform his life according to the reminders which the Most Blessed Virgin has given us." Close quote. Now, there's a ton in there I'm going to unpack in my Sister Lucy's Lost Letters blog post. But what I want you to hear in there is pretty striking, that you family people are responsible for getting your families to heaven, and the call to prayer and penance isn't going to come from the top anymore. This isn't my words. This is Sister Lucy, who assumedly got this from Our Lady. Those are really, really sobering words right there. And she says, this is why it's now necessary for each one to begin his own path of spiritual reform of self, rather. And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but as I listened to this on the silent retreat, I thought, this is why we got to keep going with this VLX series, is because I can complain all day about all the hierarchy that she just named, not calling people to prayer and penance, but what good does that do to you if you're still responsible? Sorry to say it, guys, but you're on your own, is what she just said. You're on your own. And this is why we're doing this series, is so that you learn how to pray like Father Dave Nix? No. It's so that you learn how to pray like St. Ignatius of Loyola and St. Teresa of Avila. And that's why I'm just going to regurgitate to you what the saints say. And so, last thing on that, you know, Sister Lucy's saying that you're on your own to pray and get your family to heaven. And so you can't gauge if you get to heaven off the hierarchy telling you that you need to go to say Mass once a week, because even that has been somehow dissipated under this technocratic communism. But here's the thing, even if you can't get to Mass, you can listen to the voice of God in prayer. And that's why we're doing this Ignatian Mental Prayer Series, VLX, which stands for Video Lectio Divina. An account of St. John Vianney was also mentioned on this retreat. It's in the New Catechism. Do you remember the time that St. John Vianney came into a church and there was one peasant there kneeling, staring at the tabernacle? And John Vianney, who was in the unitive stage of prayer, could see this guy was pretty close too, pretty close to the unitive stage. And he said, "What do you do in prayer?" And he said, the peasant who was just on his knees looking at the tabernacle, he said, "I look at him and he looks at me." It's in the New Catechism, beautiful line. "I look at him and he looks at me." The retreat leader said this line. He said, "God is present to us, but we are not present to him." And that's the launching point I want you to remember with. It's not about manipulating your brain to have great imagination. God's going to bless that. If you set up your imagination well, I'm convinced God will bless that. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to recognize God is already present with you as you do this VLX series. As our retreat leader said, again, God is present to us, but we are not present to him. The other thing that's really important to realize is there's a lot of false Ignatian spirituality out there that essentially puts all of the spirituality on the psyche. They call it ARRR, acknowledge, recognize, relate. It's all very emotional terms. Ignatius didn't use terms like that. For St. Ignatius of Loyola, it's not about the mommy wound and the daddy wound and talking to a psychologist and stuff like that, or talking to Jesus like he's a psychologist. What is a consolation in the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola? It's one thing. It's an increase in faith and hope and charity. Any increase in faith, hope, and charity, that is a consolation. In fact, St. Ignatius of Loyola considers tears of sadness, tears of repentance, things that come to you, that's actually a consolation, not a desolation. Because frequently with tears for our sins arrive into our hearts an increase of faith, hope, and charity. So let's do a recap of the two ways of prayer, the apophatic way of St. Bruno and the cataphatic way of St. Teresa of Avila and St. Ignatius of Loyola at this point. And I know that many of you think you know it, but it's still good, since we're kind of calling this the supercharge of prayer, to go through that. Okay, so the apophatic, that's knowledge of God obtained through negation. This is the very silent and seemingly more sober way of St. Bruno and St. John of the Cross. So what are the five steps in that? First is lectio, which is careful study. The second step is meditatio, the hidden treasure. That's just focusing on one thing in the quarter of the chapter of the gospel that you look at. Three is oratio, drive the evil, keep the good. Not always sure what that means, but I think it means avoid the tendency to try to meditate on three or four sentences in that quarter of a chapter of a gospel. Just try to focus in on one sentence or maybe even just a few words. Four, contemplatio, look of love. It's very much like the line I just gave you from the peasant who is found in Ars. How do you pray? I look at him and he looks at me. So if you get to that point, you don't have to rewind to the study. If you get raised to the point where that silence just suffuses your soul with peace, don't think you have to go back. That's actually the ultimate goal, is this contemplation, the look of love. I look at him and he looks at me. And the fifth step is operatio, which is what to do. It's essentially resolutions. Okay, just we're going to recap real quick the cataphatic way. That's knowledge of God obtained through affirmation. It's the way of St. Teresa of Avila and St. Ignatius of Loyola. Memory and consideration. First step is selection of material and preparation of meditation. Again, if you follow this series, I'm going to be doing that for you. So if you just follow along and commit to 15 minutes three times a week to my videos, and 15 minutes a day should come pretty easy. On the off days, you might want to meditate on the Passion or pick some of your favorite scripture verses. Number two is consideration. Who is here in this scene? What is he doing? Why is he doing it? What does it mean to me? This is where you set it up with your imagination. You want to see Jesus in the scene. And I know I've said this 100 times, this is what Catholics do, it's not just what Protestants do. Picture our Lord. 3 is the conversation with Christ. Father Peter, the traditional Carmelite, the old school Carmelite who lived long before Vatican II, said, the soul begins to talk slowly to Christ, telling him of its love for him, its desire to serve him, its willingness to do anything for him. He adores Christ in the scene of the day's meditation. He expresses his love for him, thanks him for past gifts, petitions him for new favors in the future. St. Teresa of Avila goes even further. She says, you can place yourself in the physical presence of Christ, talk with him, laugh with him, and confide in him. Instead of using formal prayers, extemporaneously express your interests. This will result in rapid progress, end quote. So notice, Teresa of Avila just talked about extemporaneously praying to God. She would never propose that in the liturgy. She would never impose that in the liturgy. She understood very well that the Roman Rite was given as very concrete parameters that nobody can change, except maybe tiny changes every 100 years by Pope, saints, and martyrs. And even that has to be extremely slow and inspired. Extemporaneously speaking to God is fine in our mental prayers. So it's okay if you're super tight in your liturgical understanding and a little bit looser in your mystical understanding, provided you're not, you know, being deceived by demons or spouting off heresy or something. Talk to Christ, as St. Teresa of Avila said. And the 4th step is resolutions or gratitude. And I'm going to focus a little bit more on that in some of the future episodes. So next time is VLX number 23. It's going to be Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 20, our first on the Sermon on the Mount, with the Exaltation of the Holy Cross and the Sorrows of Mary coming up. You can meditate on that today and tomorrow. But again, Tuesday will be VLX number 23. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, the Sermon on the Mount, part 1. And someone asked me on YouTube on one of the comments, what is that thing that you say in the end in Latin? And that is, may the blessing of Almighty God descend upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which I will give you now. Et benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen.